Welcome, everyone. The Lord be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just come to you today with open hearts and open minds and thank you, Father, that you are the God who made everything. God who made us, who made this world and everything in it. Lord, we thank you that because of that, Lord, we are called to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, Lord, and the opportunity to represent your word in this world. And we praise you this morning, Father God. We pray that this word and this message changes our hearts, speaks to our minds and our hearts and our souls, Lord. And we pray that you can use us all in a mighty way for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen and amen. So, yeah, that's my sermon title today, The God Who Made Everything. Amen? The God Who Made Everything. Remember in Thessalonica, when we were in Thessalonica, we noticed that those who heard the gospel when Paul was there responded by turning to God from idols to serve and worship the one true God. Amen? They did that in Thessalonica. I did that in a lot of these cities he visited. Amen? In our 21st century Western society, though, there has been a huge shift. Amen? A turning away from a Christian God-centered worldview to a new atheism which desires a complete secularization of society with non-religious values. Amen? Non-religious, non-biblical values, and secular institutions. But the very fact that they're turning away from God doesn't mean that they're neutral. Amen? Turning away from God means you're turning to something else. Amen? We will have an idol. Everybody will have an idol. And if it's not God, it's going to be something else. Amen? We see it with the rise of militant atheism, pseudoscience. We see it with mass consumerism, right? A lot of times, money can be an idol, amen? We see the new liberalism that's trying to sweep our country. That becomes an idol, amen? And we see our own personal fulfillment, for a lot of people, is at the top of the agenda rather than bringing glory to God, right? That's another idol, ourselves, amen? Our own self-sufficiency and importance, our own personal vanities and obsessions, all that becomes an idol. And you know what that does is it becomes the center of our worship rather than God. Amen? It becomes the center of our worship and takes the place of God. It robs us of our genuine worship. It robs us of the genuine worship. So to genuinely worship God, we have to put Him first and we have to live with biblical values. Right? And to keep it real, like Paul is today when he's preaching, you know, we got to stop lying, we got to stop cheating, we got to stop stealing, and we got to stop doing things like killing babies too. Amen? That's living with biblical values. We must stop being like Athens in today's text and start going back to being one nation under God. Amen. And so remember last week in our journey here, Paul once again got ran off, right? And where they were getting ready to attack him, well, he ended up going from Berea down to Athens, amen? And he was going to wait there alone for Silas and Timothy to come meet him after they were done doing their duty there in Berea. And amazingly, this ancient city, like a lot of these ancient cities that we study about, is still there, amen? And it's an amazing city. I wish I had time to talk about Athens today, but I don't, but study the city of Athens. It was a very powerful and very amazing city for it still is today, but it was so powerful for such a long time up until and after the time of Christ. Amen. Luke says that as Paul was waiting in that powerful city of Athens, he noticed that it was full of idols. It was full of idols, and he was greatly distressed, right? There were pagan deities everywhere. Amen? Even the unknown God, right? There were just pagan deities everywhere. And it says in verse 17 that while Paul was waiting, it said he reasoned in the synagogue, of course, that's what he did, with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began a debate with him, and some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Right? Of course he was. Seems Paul definitely got their attention. Amen? He got their attention, and they would seem to be taunting him, right, by calling him a babbler, right? Some other accounts say they called him a little bit more than that, but yeah, it says they called him a babbler, okay? But at the same time, they were intrigued. They were intrigued by his word. They wanted to hear more. And it says in verse 19 that they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, amen, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting?" They wanted to hear more. So Paul was brought to this place that was very well known. It was a type of superior court of their day. Amen? It was very well known. It was called Areopagus or Mars Hill. It was an easier way to say the name there. Another name for it was Mars Hill. This place was a type of appeals court in this day. Amen? It was a court where you went to take your appeals in the law. And the name Areopagus was named after the god Ares. That's where they got the name. Amen? Who was the god of war for the Greeks. He was the god of war. So, good name for a powerful place. Amen? But he was a mythological creature in Athenian belief. And he was said to have been tried on the same hill for killing the son of Poseidon, right? So that's how they got the name, okay? And so they named the hill Areopagus. And here's the hill today. That's it right there. That's where Paul's preaching today in our text, amen? That's the hill today, okay? Areopagus. I think my wife threw in that extra picture there. But so at some point, the dictionary of the Christian church says that this court that they held there would go from holding murder trials, amen, to holding religious trials. And that's what they were doing in this day, is it was a place for religious trials. So what better place, right, for Paul to come and present the gospel message? And this is where Paul would make his defense for the gospel, amen? And these people, they were well-educated, okay? Well-educated pagans. Sure, they were smart, but when it came to worship, they knew nothing about the one true God. Amen? They were smart, but they knew nothing about the one true God. Remember, they had many gods. And remember talking about Paul, they said, "What is this babbler talking about?" Right? That's never good, right? But notice they also said in verse 20, "You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." Right? They liked new ideas. They were interested, amen? And then in verse 21, Luke gives us a character reference for these Athenians, okay? This is how he explains these philosophers, okay? He said, "All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas." Right? They must have been wealthy, I guess, right? If they just sat around talking about the latest ideas. But they were curious philosophers, okay, with nothing better to do than sit around talking about new ideas. Not necessarily new religion, though, okay, just new ideas. And the gospel, though, it had intrigued them. They wanted to hear more about this gospel. And it intrigues a lot of people, amen? But the implication is that they love new ideas. They weren't really concerned with the truth. They just loved new ideas. Some people would receive the truth of the gospel, and some would even come to believe, but it says not many, okay? Not many, because most of them just love to sit around and talk about new things. But at the end of the day, truth or not, it was entertainment for them, okay? It was entertaining, and it was just another new thing to them, and not everyone was going to take them serious. And that's how it is with witnessing, amen? It's the same for us. When we're out there witnessing to the homeless or serving others, we may be out there serving, witnessing to tens, maybe even hundreds of people. Amen? But how many are going to seriously listen to what we have to say and consider giving their lives to Christ? Right? Sometimes many, sometimes none. Amen? But we continue to plant the seeds. We really don't know. Even though we're planting those seeds of faith, it is God's word, right, in God's time that's going to bring the growth, right? It's not us. It's God's word. We just plant the seeds. And we know Paul was relentless in his witness, right? Regardless of what city he was in or what kind of audience he had, Paul gave that same message. Amen? And that's the same thing we should do. Always give the message of the gospel. Amen? And so it says in verse 22 that Paul stood up in the meeting, okay, of the Areopagus, and he said, "People of Athens," he said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." I think they like him so far, right? Because he's telling the truth, right? They are very religious. Now, in the Greek and the Greek culture, the name threskeia is the word for religion, okay? That's the word for religion. And what it meant to them was, "You who fear the gods," okay? All they got to do is take that S off of there, and I think they got it right, right? But "you who fear the gods," plural, amen, is the definition for them for religion. So Paul was making a point that he understood their reverence for their gods, right? And that made them very religious. He understood that. He was letting them know, which, as we know, is not always a good thing, right? Being religious, okay? Remember, our faith is more about a relationship than it is about religion, right? So they were being very religious. And Paul continues, he says, "For as I walked around," he's telling them, "and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" Here's where the fluff goes out the window, okay? So he says, "You are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." This was his opportunity to witness, and he was going to take that opportunity. And so it says in the next few verses, Paul's going to go on to say what God has revealed about himself in the word of truth. Right? He's going to read the truth to them. And he's going to start to proclaim to them the God of creation and what his relationship is with all of them, with all of us, with man. And so verse 24, he starts, he said, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and he does not live in temples built by human hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." Everything. Amen? Amen. Paul was saying that God created the earth and everything in it, and that he is distinct from all of us. He's distinct from his creation, right? That he's bigger than any temple. He doesn't need anything from us. He gives everyone life, and the only thing he wants in return is for us to worship him, amen, right? To have no other gods before him. He says that these are the most fundamental things when it comes to our relationship with the one true God. The fact is that we must believe that God is our creator. And because of that, we have an obligation, amen, to worship him and to thank him for everything we have, right down to our last breath, because everything is from God. Amen? Everything. But one of Satan's greatest tools of deception, okay, is to try and separate man from the idea that God is our creator, and that we do have an obligation to worship him. Satan just loves to convince us that that's not true. Amen? And yes, there are some things that humans, even Christians, have agreed to disagree upon, right, in our faith. But believing God is our creator should never be one of them. We don't compromise on that. Amen? God is our creator. And because of that, we have an obligation, right? We have an obligation to call him Lord and to live in reverence of him. Amen? And his word, which is the truth. Most people out there don't feel like they owe God anything, right? I don't owe God anything. That they achieved everything on their own, that they did it their way, right? But no, the Lord provides, amen? Whether you believe it or not, here's the key. Whether you believe it or not, God is real. He created you, and He supplies everything you need, right? Whether you believe it or not. Paul realized that these philosophers he was speaking to, as smart as they were, they needed to change their opinions about the one true God. They needed to understand who God is and how His love is unconditional, right? Unconditional and true. You see, their opinions about God that they had, or our opinions about God, or anyone's opinions about God don't matter. Amen? They don't matter. What matters is God's Word. God's Word and God's truth and what it tells us. Personal opinions are not going to get us into heaven. Amen? They will not get us in. Only worshiping and following the one true King will get us to heaven. And then Paul continues in verse 26. He says, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands." Right? He's saying God made everything and orchestrated everything from the beginning of time, right? And supplied everything. Even the big rock this council was standing on was of God. Amen? God created it. And he said, "You better believe it. You better believe it." And in verse 27, he says, "God did this. He did all this so that they could seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us." Right? God is never far from any of us. He was saying, God didn't do all this so you could throw away your life, your eternal life. He did it so that we could all seek him and find him. The evidence is there. Amen? The evidence is here. And so a great question for us to ask those we witness to when we're out there witnessing, amen, is do you seek the Lord? Right? When you're witnessing to somebody and you know, you can tell they're either new baby Christians or not Christians, ask them, do you seek the Lord? And if they say no, what's the next question we should ask? Why not? Right? Why not? What's keeping you from seeking the Lord in your life? You see, it's our duty and our obligation to seek the one who created us. Amen? That's our duty. That's our obligation as human beings, to seek the one who created us every day of our lives and to teach those who don't know, to try to get as close as we can to the one that knitted us in our mother's womb, that knew our name from the beginning of time. Amen? That's the one that we should be worshiping. And you know, it's our duty. He's our Father. Amen? And then Paul goes on to say, "For in him," in verse 28, "for in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." That's two quotes right there, okay, that Paul used from Greek poets, okay? Two quotes. This was done as a bridge, okay, to reach the Athenians for Christ, right? Pastors use a lot of bridges sometimes to preach the word, amen? Because these words were going to reflect a biblical truth that they could relate to. This is relatable preaching, amen? This is an art of all preachers that all preachers must practice in order to reach others, especially newcomers, amen? It's relatable preaching 101, right? Amen? And in verse 29, he says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. Paul was saying we have to respect the one true God because we're his children, right? We're his children, and that we should never consider worshiping an idol made by human hands, but only worship the God that made this world and everything in it. Amen? Amen? Everything in it. He goes on in verse 30. He says, "In the past, God overlooked more no fluff preaching here. God overlooks such ignorance, he said. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead, by raising Jesus from the dead. There's a progression here to notice in Paul's message. Amen. He went from proclaiming the God who is the creator to who we are, his offspring, to what our responsibility is before him, and that's to worship him, right? And to finally, our accountability, right? Our accountability, in which Paul says we still have to answer to him and be judged regardless of what we choose to do, right? Regardless of whether we believe or not, we're going to have to answer. Paul was the ultimate no-fluff, tough-love preacher of his day, maybe of all time, amen? But there are a lot of fluffy churches today, amen? There's a lot of fluffy churches out there today. And John MacArthur, the great John MacArthur, said, many churches today are filled to overflowing with those who want their ears tickled, with the myths of easy believism and so-called positive thinking. They come to have their egos fed and their sins approved, not to have their hearts cleansed and their souls saved. They want only to feel good, not to be made good. Tragically, such myths serve to religiously insulate people from the true gospel and drive them further away from the Lord. Amen? That's so true, right? But Paul was all about saving souls, all right? And he was going to tell them straight up, there's a God who created everything, including us, and because of that, we are obligated to follow and trust in that God. And that whether we believe it or not, he says, you will be judged. Whether you believe it or not, you will be judged, he says. And then he tells them about this judge, okay? This is the first time that Paul would refer to Jesus as a judge. Amen? But he does. He says, and you know, this is not one of those feel-good, health and wealth, prosperity gospel messages. No, this is a judgment day is coming, and you better get right. Fire and brimstone gospel message. That's what he's preaching. Amen? And Paul's not pulling any punches despite his audience. He never did, right? Paul preached the same message no matter what his audience was. Even when they were going to attack him and when he knew it, he preached that same message, right? Paul was keeping it real, and that's exactly what you want when someone is preaching a gospel message. You want the truth, amen? You want the truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? Yeah, the truth will set you free. It's not about feeling good. It's about being good, amen? You see, Paul saw the resurrection as the assurance of who Jesus is and what he did for us on the cross, and that everybody needed to hear that message. Paul was unable to preach a sermon without focusing on the resurrection of Jesus, right? Every sermon should focus on Jesus, right? Every one of them. Everything, because nothing in the Christian life, either then or now, makes sense without Christ. None of it. Amen? Without Christ, there is no Christian life. Amen? Verse 32, he says, when they heard about the resurrection from the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. Right? So apparently they're going to cut Paul's message short. All right? They're trying to cut the message short. I think he was just getting started too. Right? He's just getting started. They want to cut him short. But as I said it before, you know, and I say it all the time, not everyone wanted to hear the truth. Amen? Not everyone wants to hear the truth. And these Stoic and Epicurean philosophers, they didn't believe in the afterlife, okay? They didn't believe in the afterlife, and they didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, okay? But of course, we know God's word never returns void, amen? And some of them would want to hear this message again, and they'd even say it, right? Some of them would want to hear the message again. Paul had much more to say about the Savior, but they were starting to mock him, right? They were calling him a babbler, getting ready to run him off, right? But they wouldn't have to run Paul off because Paul knew, amen? And in verse 32, 33, it says, and at that, Paul left the council. He knew it was time to go. He left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others. So some people were changed. Some people were listening. Amen? From just that short, unfinished message, Paul had reached hearts for Christ. Right? On that hill. Amen? But there was some questions about Paul's teaching on that day. Some historians got some questions. They say that maybe he didn't preach Christ crucified. But it's obvious he did. Amen? Maybe he didn't preach Christ crucified. And maybe that's why he was not well received. I don't think so. But I think just from the evidence we have here, he did preach Christ, right? Everywhere he went, he preached Christ. Amen? Everywhere he went in Athens, he was preaching the gospel, and he would preach as much as they would let him, right? He knew it was time to go, but we should never judge, okay? His message was powerful, but we should never judge the power of the message by the strength of the response, right? God's word does not change, amen? God's word is all powerful. Never judge it by the response, amen? Because it's possible, and I know, okay, to preach a message and have very little response, okay? It happens, amen? It happens. We can plant seeds all day, but we never know when the hearers are going to respond. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. God makes the growth. Amen? Three closing points, okay? As believers, we are called to this great commission of spreading the gospel message. But we have to leave the results up to God. Right? Could be next week, next month, next year, next decade. The results are up to God. It's God that brings the increase. Amen? God brings the increase. I have given what I thought was a perfect salvation message at a funeral before, and you could hear crickets at the end of that message. Amen? But we must remember, it's not our job, okay, to save others. Right? It's not our job to save others. It is Jesus that can save them when they're ready. Okay? It's our job as Christians to proclaim the message. Right? Even if it's just what we do, our lives, right? We could be a walking Bible for people to see. Even if the message is the way we live our lives, amen? That's our job, okay? Only God can change people's hearts. Right? Only God and His Word can change people's hearts. Secondly, we must live our lives remembering that God made everything, including us. Right? Everything including us, and that by worshiping Him alone, we can have a relationship with our Creator. Amen. Right? That's the true relationship. And lastly, and most importantly, we're going to be talking about this in CR on Tuesday, we must step out of the denial of our sin and repent. Yes. Amen? First and foremost, we got to step out of that denial of sin and repent and give it all to the one that saves, restoring our relationship with God. Amen? The God who made everything. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are the God who made everything. Our Father, our Creator. And Lord, we thank You for giving us the opportunity to worship You and to serve You. And we thank You that You call us Your children. We praise You, Lord, for our church, for our church family, because the family is the church, Lord. We know that. And we thank You for that, Father. And we thank You for the healing, the amazing healing that You do every day, Father. All the prayer, all the answers to prayer, all those being healed and strengthened and delivered. We praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for every opportunity you give us to serve those in need. We thank you for the church that we are here at Amazing Grace, Lord, and for the people that we reach. Lord, we pray that you continue to strengthen us, to humble us, and to give us wisdom, Father God, to make the right decisions and to lead as many people as we can to you, your Son, and your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.